several items this morning, but the key ones is the importance of prayer in our individual lives, as well as the importance of prayer and fasting in our lives. God has caused that we might have this means of communication with Him, this avenue of prayer, that we can approach Him, that we can seek forgiveness for our sins, that we can seek guidance for the things that we need guidance in, and also that we might be able to solve our varied problems of life and the various things that perplex us. I would like to read today for the opening scripture from John 14, verses 12 through 15. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And this seems like a rather involving, forceful statement. If we ask anything in the name of Jesus, he will do it. And then he gives the qualifying verse of number 15. He said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." So really, for these things to be completely effective, it requires for us to keep the commandments of Christ. And as we keep these particular commandments, we show of our love toward Him. I have another passage of Scripture, 3 Nephi 8:46, on page 651. And I'd like to read down through verse 52. And again, the words of Jesus Christ, as he spoke to his disciples of old. And he said unto them, "Therefore blessed are ye, if ye shall keep my commandments." Now I just read here where Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And if we ask anything in his name, he will do it." Now further here, we find Jesus in teaching his disciples of old upon these continents here. He said that they would be blessed if they would keep his commandments. And these are the commandments which the Father hath given unto Jesus. And then he said in verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and are led away captive by him." Now this gives one key reason why he admonished his ministry of old to watch and pray always, lest they become tempted by the devil, and lest they become led away by him. And not only would this be fitting, not alone of just the disciples here, it would fit every person. But specifically, he admonished his disciples. And then he also admonished them of the importance of praying among the people, even as he prayed among them. And he also said, "Behold, I am the light, and I have set an example for you." And we find that Jesus Christ did pray for various people when he was here. Not only his disciples, not only those who repented and were baptized in his name, but he prayed for the multitudes of the people. And then he turned and spoke unto the multitude, and said unto them, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always." So you really see how involving this thing called prayer is. Not only prayer, but watching. And watch means that you are careful what you're doing and the type of life you're living and the things you are pursuing. And the reason for this great urgent need of watching and praying always is lest ye enter into temptation. for Satan desires you. And this is a thing that is almost frightening. This comes back to one of the key reasons of being watchful in prayer, and that is that Satan desires you, that he may sift you as wheat, according to this scripture here. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. So he gives the way and manner of prayer to pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, behold, or believing that ye shall receive it, behold, it shall be given unto you. So this gives some other qualifications of prayer. It has to be what is right to start with. If we pray for what was wrong, it is of a certainty God is not going to bestow it upon us. He might allow it to take place, but he will not give it to us. And if we believe along with this, it shall be given unto us. And then we find in verse 52 the importance of praying in families. And we cannot underestimate this, of praying in one's families that their wives and their children may be blessed. And this really gives one of the key responsibilities being placed upon the father in this instance. But not alone this, as I've had cause to say before, it does not absolve the mothers from praying or the children. We have many attitudes of prayer. Some indicate of the vitalness of praying in secret, that our Father who seeth in secret will reward us openly, and I will touch a bit upon that a little later. And then also, it is important that we pray in our families, not alone our private places, but in our families. Also, it is important that we pray in our services, one before another. So really, there is a lot of various avenues of prayer. I would like to turn to Moroni 6, 3 through 6, on page 762. This gives some more responsibilities of man, and it also told that none were received unto baptism, say they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end. And then it says, after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. But I want you to note here that they did not stop there. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God. So this too is vital. Not alone do you preach repentance and baptism to mankind, you don't just stop there, but their names are taken so that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God. And this more specifically would be a duty of ministry. But again, we can minister to one another even though we aren't ministry, to keep them in the right way. So man continually needs reminded what he must do to keep him in the right way. And to keep them continually watchful unto prayer. So this ties so well with the others of watching and praying always, lest you be tempted of the devil, or lest you enter into temptation, whichever way it needs be. Relying upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. Now this is the way a people did it, who walked very close to God. And maybe this is the reason why they walked that closely to God. Because of their constant watchfulness unto prayer. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray. And so we see entering in here along with prayer, fasting, to fast and to pray. And I intend to touch upon that considerably today. And to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they also did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And we know this is the reason why the bread and wine is partaken of. It shows, number one, that you're of your willingness to keep his commandments, of your willingness to remember him. And if you do this in the proper attitude, you will have the Spirit of Christ always to be with you, or to be with us, however you want to word it. If we do this, and it is vital that we do it, because we need the Spirit of Christ constantly and continually with us. I'd like to turn to Alma 16 and verse 219 through 222. This is on page 430. Now, these are the words of Amulek. We did read a bit of this in our Sunday school lesson this morning, but I guess it won't hurt to touch upon it once again. We find here number one. It says, humble yourselves and continue in prayer. Now, these things really go together. And the greater the humility, I would say, the more effective will be your prayers. But this says, continue in prayer. It's not a thing that's just done occasionally or on occasion or when great need arises, but it is a thing that is done when things are normal. It is a thing that is done in times of great need. It is things in time of want and desire. It is a thing we do to seek forgiveness for our sins. And we find here the important stress of praying over all of our activities of life, whether they be farming activities or whether they be jobs. It is vital that we pray over our livelihood and over the things we accomplish. But not only that, it is important to pray against the power of one's enemies. And as we see time unfold, we may very well see the greater number of enemies that we are perplexed with. Those who would despitefully use and persecute us. Those who would be an enemy against righteousness. For we know that God is for righteousness, but we know that the devil is opposed to all righteousness. He walks in darkness and desires that man might likewise walk in darkness. And yet Jesus Christ says, I am the light. I am a light unto you. And what you have seen me do, that ye do likewise. Also, we have been admonished to pray against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness. Not only do we have enemies that are opposed to us, but we have the devil who is the enemy to all righteousness. And so we find running rampant in our world today, and even from the beginning of time, the thing called sin. And yet we do live in this unique area of time wherein there is a promise of the prophets of old that it would be a day of great trial and tribulation such as we never has been or never will be. And I believe that we are entering in to the fore part of that time of great tribulation. And by that I don't mean that we've even begun to have the trials that will yet be. They will be trying to our very nature. And yet we have the key here already brought out this day of being able to handle these prayers, humble oneself and continue in prayer. Today, tomorrow, that when these days of great stress, which will surely be, come upon us, that we will be prepared for them. And then he goes on here and admonishes to pray over all these various things in one's flocks and fields and such as this, and to pour out one's soul in one closet and in one private places, and already brought out about praying in one family. And also I brought out the importance of gathering together often to fast and to pray, and the importance of admonishing the people continually to be watchful unto prayer. So we see how these things fit very well together. And we says, and yea, in verse 222, And when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare and also for the welfare of the souls about you. And so, or around you, this is worded. So we see this is important, that we do pray not only for our soul welfare, but for the welfare of the souls of those about us. And when we really get instant enough in prayer for the needs and problems of others, sometimes maybe even our problems won't seem so great. I would like to turn to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. This is found in verses 5 and 7, through 7. It gives a manner of prayer, and this is important, that we do have this as a part of our life. And it says, when thou prayest, to be not as the hypocrites are. And so there were a people who prayed to be approved of men. And it says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen of men. And he says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Not only there, but when the time of judgment comes. Because this type of prayer will not be an availing prayer. If you pray or I pray to be seen of man, it's the same as the hypocrites prayed when Christ spoke these words many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. So certainly it is not the proper manner of prayer. And then he goes on to tell us that when we pray, that we enter into our closet and shut the door and pray to our Father which seeth in secret, and our Father which seeth in secret shall reward us openly. Now some might say, well, this is the only way of prayer. And that's why I already brought out. We do have this responsibility of prayer, to communing with our Heavenly Father in secret, alone, that he might reward us openly. But also we have the responsibility of praying in our families. We have the responsibility of praying in our churches. And there is times when we travel when it would not even be convenient, or would not even have a closet or a room or a place to separate ourselves. We might needs only offer a silent prayer. And we know we've all been there. And it don't mean that we should do away with all these others. But this does mean that we should not do it for a show to be seen of men. And also in verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So really, a long, lengthy prayer does not necessarily mean that this is the prayer that God or Jesus Christ would rather have uttered to them. Because here he very plainly says, vain repetitions are like the heathen do. And really, we don't want to become as the heathen. One definition of heathen is those who do not believe in the God of the Bible. So certainly we don't want to be classified this way. And if we make vain, repetitious prayers, we could be classified in this manner. So it is important that we do these things in their proper order. There are many things that we're commanded to fast and pray over, and I'd like to turn to Alma, the 4th chapter, page 321, and read verses 5 and 6. Now I would that ye should understand that the word of God was liberal unto all. Now this is a preliminary statement here. Concerning the word of God, that it was free or liberal to all, that none were deprived of the privilege of assembling themselves together to hear the word of God. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded, you notice this, that they should gather themselves together oft and join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of the souls of those who knew not God. There enters in a further responsibility. And this is a commandment of those of old that was given unto them. And it would be none the less effect today. So really, maybe this is another thing we might become more instant upon. They gathered themselves together all, and to join in fasting and mighty prayer for those who knew not God. And really, when we go to think on this, this is really the crux of the problems today, isn't it? Those who don't really know God. Because if people all knew God and applied His commandments and the commandments of His Son to their lives, it would change His whole world. It would be a different place. It would be a place of supreme happiness and joy right here on the face of this earth. So, this responsibility is great. It is a thing that should be done. We have another people who fasted and prayed often. And this was those after Christ came to this continent. You can read about it on page 682, 4 Nephi 1:13. We find here were a people who were very fair and delightsome and a happy people in the sight of God. Because why? They complied with the commandments of Jesus Christ totally and wholly and applied them to their individual lives. And I'd like to read verse 13. And they did not walk any more after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses. We know that the law of Moses was given for a definite purpose. It was given kind of as a shadow of things to come, as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And when that schoolmaster or Jesus Christ was come, they no longer needed this law of old. It was fulfilled. Christ didn't come to destroy this law. It had a definite purpose. It pointed them unto Jesus Christ. But He came to fulfill this law. And it says these people did no longer walk at the performances and the ordinances of the law of Moses. But they did walk after the commandments which they had received from the Lord and their God. So these are the things they followed, the commandments of Jesus Christ, and they applied them fully to their lives, which they had received from the Lord their God. Continuing in fasting and prayer, in meeting together all, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And so how plain this is written. They kept these commandments which they'd received from the Lord their God, and they continuing in fasting and prayer. It wasn't a thing, it was just sporadic or occasional, but it was a regular part of their life. And they did meet together all, both to pray, and this would have been vocally in their services, and to hear the word of the Lord. So with this type of life, their lives were blessed fully and completely. During our recent conference, there was a resolution that was placed there by the apostles. And this resolution had some advice contained in it. And there's been several places where I've admonished people of the importance of heeding this desire of the apostles that they placed before that conference, and which was published in the Advocate, at least in the conference minutes. And this was this, concerning, there was a resolution concerning the present arrangement of seven bishops in the general bishopric. And it was decided that this particular problem couldn't be solved at that particular time, but there was a desire that it be deferred till the next conference, and that the people of the whole church be invited or admonished to fast and pray over this, as well as the welfare of the church. And I believe we don't want to take that lightly. All too often we have some special requests for prayer and fasting. and a year rolls around and it's time to make a decision upon a particular problem, it can be very involving. And then we look back and say, well, I really should have fasted and prayed more. And already April, May, June, and soon July will have passed. Almost a third of that time, not quite. Almost a third has passed. And could we ask ourselves this question, have we really already spent sufficient time concerning this request that was made? It is important to pray, not only over that, but over the whole welfare of the church. And another thing that I would like to present at this time is also a part of the agenda of the July, or rather August, Ministers' Conference of this year. And it involves the Wednesday, August 15th service, in which the apostles unanimously agreed that this would be a guideline for that day, that it be set aside as a day of fasting and prayer. And it gave four different purposes here, and I would like to read them. One of them I've already brought out, so I'll only touch upon it. But it says, one of the purposes for which this conference was designed is to seek the will of the Lord concerning the missionary program of His church. Now, there is a thing that not alone those who gather there could pray over, but we as a people, wherever you are, could pray over the missionary program of the Church of Christ. It is important. And the next one was to give the people time for fasting and prayer in order that we may seek the Lord's direction for His welfare. And this was brought about initially because of desired direction concerning our present arrangement of seven people in the General Bishopric. And this is a thing that we would desire an answer to. And another thing that will be presented to that ministers' conference is our spiritual preparation for the events preceding the coming of Christ. And then this statement is found in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Now really, are we that instant in prayer? Jesus Christ said that many years ago. Are you this day, am I really that instant in prayer of watching and praying always that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass? And there's many things that are told will come to pass in a certain day of the time of the end. And to stand before the Son of Man. Do we really feel today that we've been sufficiently humble if Jesus Christ would come and stand in our midst? One day we will stand before Him. One day we will stand before the judgment bar and give account for this life that we have lived here. This life that we live this day, right here in this area of Grand Junction, Colorado, we will give account, and the life that is in the future. And the acts that we do that are good is what will be the ones that will be important. But again, we must be careful that we are continually watchful into prayer. And the last one that was listed here to pray over, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth labors into His harvest. And that is a quote from Matthew 9:37 and 38. There is another responsibility of people, not only ministry gathering together. That is a responsibility of people. Because the harvest is great and the labors are few, pray that the Lord might send men called of God with authority to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the task is great. And I just thought these four items I would like to bring to our attention this day as things to pray over. And not just lay back on a shelf when you go home today and you find something else to do that seems more important than all these things. There's days ahead. We have quite a little bit of even 1979 left. Well, I guess really we don't have half of it, so we can't be too boastful, can we? won't be long. We're only going to have 5/12 of us left. So really, time is rolling on faster than anybody really realized. We can't stop it, that is for sure. Jesus Christ said something about even shortening his time at the end. It didn't say he was going to take 58 out of every minute of an hour. It didn't say he's going to do that. There's still going to be 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day and 365 and a fraction days in a year. It's just as certain as we stand here. But the thing is, we just can't accomplish in 24 hours what we used to. And it's happened to just about everybody. And yet we're living in a time today wherein people have more conveniences, wherein they have more free time than they ever had of any people. Even on jobs, people don't have to work, on an average, there's exceptions to this, but on an average, they don't have to work as many hours to get a livelihood as they once did. One day, people kept out of mischief because they worked so long they was too tired to do it when they got done. But today, there's plenty of time for mischief when one is done. There's plenty of time for pleasure and all these other things, and yet people say, I just don't have time to do it. And so really, when I think he says that his time will be shortened, his time is shortened. The days just roll by, and the next thing you know, it'll be Christmas and it'll be past. It's all coming faster than we think. But we're given today to utilize it. And really, we're a victim of a time wherein man has all these things and all the conveniences of life, an automobile to drive somewhere. It used to might take a guy a whole day to walk it. When people used to take 2 or 3 hours to get up early and go to church, now a lot of people, 10 minutes is too much of an effort to get there. So what a day we're really living in. And there's so many other things that take our time. We've got to confess. It's taking its toll. Even among those who really believe in Jesus Christ and God, we're a victim of our society today. And it's hurting us. And we better awake. That's why he says, be watchful unto prayer. We better awake before it's too late. We got a responsibility. We got a responsibility to the world to lift a sin-laden world. And if we falter in this, you know, we've heard this said. Deeds of omission are oftentimes as bad as deeds of commission. And a lot of times we like to point a finger or condemn others for doing little items of sin. And maybe they shouldn't have did it. And maybe we aren't doing that sin. But it comes along, and maybe all too often, though, we're omitting to do the very important things of this life. And it's time that we awake. Because this is sin, too. Whether we like it or whether we don't. We got a commission before Jesus Christ today to reach out unto the world. We got a commission to help those who are weak. We got a commission to help those who are discouraged. And even as a brother wrote me earlier, maybe he wrote me last Sunday or something like this, and he says, my prayers are for those who are discouraged. Because we know some that are very discouraged because of distressing things that are taking place within our own church. And they become discouraged and they may fall by the wayside. But when it comes to the judgment bar of God, who will have the greater condemnation? Those who fell by the judgment by the wayside or those who failed in committing their lives to Jesus Christ enough to lift those who are discouraged? We got a duty today, and not to omit our duty. I would like to turn to Isaiah 58. A whole chapter concerning prayer and fasting. And most everybody knows when we turn to it what we're going to bring out. And I may read practically the whole thing today. I want us to think upon it. because certainly there needs to be a way of accomplishing the task that's been given to us. And so Isaiah of old cried to a people and was told by the Lord, cry aloud and spare not. Don't get soft. Get very firm with these people here. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Don't just have a little soft voice, he told Isaiah. And shew my people. Who was that? That's his people. Their transgression and the house of Jacob, their sins. Now here was a people that says, yeah, they seek me daily, which is good. They delight to know my ways. This is good. As a nation that did righteousness. But they did it the same as a nation that did righteousness. Now here's a little flaw entering in. And forsook not the ordinance of their God. So with all their seeking God daily and delighting to know his ways, they still forsook the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. And we should take delight in approaching to God. But this people here in all this, they were called my people or the people of the Lord. And then they said, why? He says, wherefore have we fasted, say they? Why, Lord, we're fasting, and thou art even paying any attention to us. Thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? And so sometimes we might pray, and we might pray, and pray again. And it seems like it's absolutely futile, that we're absolutely getting nowhere, that we just struck out again. We need to hit a few homers in all this great plan and knock the ball plumb out of the park if we want to word it that way. We got to maybe evaluate our life a bit closer and look deeply. Wherein is the things I've been doing preventing me? And maybe we need to start weighing our manner of life. For these people here, why, Lord, we fasted and you aren't even paying any attention to us. So they thought. And yet they were doing a lot of things that were right. This fasting was good they were doing. This being intent in their approaching to God was good. But then he goes on to say, why aren't you taking any knowledge, Lord? The people will say this. Behold, in the day of your fast, maybe here's something we could note. Ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. So we really might weigh our manner of prayer. We might weigh our manner of fasting and prayer this day. We might weigh it a bit more carefully. Because without a doubt, there are reasons why prayers are not more available. And I'm not saying that many times our prayers have not been availing, for I know they have been, and we each know this, and I'm sure that we receive more than we are even worthy to receive. But I'm also just as sure as I'm standing here that we have not even really tasted of how great things the Lord can bestow upon you this day. And I think you know it if you're truthful with yourself this day, because he can pour out some great and marvelous things unto the children of men. His storehouse is full, and he has bestowed to a degree of these great bountiful blessings out of the storehouse of God. But again, not all. Just carefully analyze. And really, I guess there's no place to stop this morning in this sermon, so I'll have to be careful. If I just keep going on and on and on, there's really no good stopping place. But there is a spiritual gifts, and can we really say they're functioning in the fullness that you really think God intended for them to function? And really, again, if we want to be honest, we'd have to say no. We couldn't say that they aren't functioning, because that would be an inaccuracy and an untruth. But not as they really should function before our Heavenly Father. Yes, in the day of your fast, he told these people of old, ye find pleasure. Now we find, I brought this out, I think, a Sunday or two ago, concerning the parable of the sower. And a part of the seed that was sowed above the thorns is like unto the cares of this life. which cause people to become unfruitful, and the pleasures of this life, right along with it, causes people to become unfruitful. So really, when we set aside a time for fasting and prayer, it should be a special time. And we want to be very careful about the pleasurable items we pursue. We want to separate ourselves as much as is possible from this world that we live in. We don't have to perform exacting all one's labor, just trying to do all you can do during a fast, the same as other times. There is necessary things that would needs have to be done, but we don't have to make added things. Behold, he had this against him. Ye fast for strife and debate. So really our whole life should be pointing away from strife and debate, because it can cause our prayers to become ineffective. We find in 1 Corinthians 3:3, where a people who walked as men had become carnal because they had strife and debate and divisions among them. They had this thing called strife and division, and their prayers and all things could become ineffective. It says, "Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your prayer to be or voice to be heard on high." Then he says, "Is it such a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul and bow down his head as a bulrush, or sit in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what I've really chosen this day?" Again, it comes back to a really true acceptable fast before God and Jesus Christ is our very attitudes we display while we're doing it. But not only just while we're doing it, is our attitudes we display as we go about our walk of life. We've got responsibilities today, and we better awaken to them. Is not this the fast I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? And the bands of wickedness are grasping people in their giant tentacles today and tearing them literally apart in a sin-riddled world. In a world that has the answer by turning to God and Jesus Christ, and to undo the heavy burdens, and they're on the constant increase. And we'll see more and more of them that fast and pray that these heavy burdens might be undone. And to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Yes, people are oppressed and they're heavy burdened today because of the society we live in, and which all too often we become a part of. And we should separate ourselves in as much as is possible from these things that tear apart the children of men. And break every yoke. Yes, man can be yoked in many ways to the ways of the world, to the cares of this world, as a matter of fact. They take their toll daily. But Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? This is part of one's duty. And to bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So we really have responsibility. And if I went on a little further in that 16th chapter of Alma, in verse 222, or 3 through 225, we would find there not only the importance of humbling oneself and continuing in prayer, but in order for your prayer to be effective, even after you've prayed over all these things, if you fail to be charitable, if you fail to minister what you have to the poor and needy, then your prayer becomes ineffective. And I won't turn to that. It's one we read today in Sunday school lesson again. But you can all turn to it. And if we do these things in the proper order, it says, then shalt thy light break forth as the morning. And we all know after a night of darkness and the light comes over these mountains that we've been so accustomed to and so a part of our life, we enjoy our mountains. And as this light comes up, that's the same way it says here. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning when you do these things in your proper order, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. the promise of health unto the children of men when these things are done in order. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. And then some more qualifying clauses. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And so all too often there is a yoke, not the yoke of Jesus Christ, which is tearing away not only at the people of the world, but Christ's own people. Those who have taken upon them the name of Christ, those who have entered the waters of baptism. It's tearing away at them. It's tearing away at all mankind. Because all too often, as these hear, says, cry aloud, spare not, shew my people their transgression. And one of them was that they was pointing the finger at the others. And we have people today, and maybe all, to a more or less degree, are inclined to point a finger. But this isn't the way to do it, and to speak vanity and things that are not availing. We must be careful the type of people we are. We have some very tender type people in the Church of Christ that can be easily wounded. We have some that are very even temperamental. We have those who are very impatient and thinks that things should just be done instantaneously. It's just got to be that way. We have those that are maybe more critical than they should be of others. We have to stand firm against sin and the ways of sin. But we must be careful how we condemn others. And then this goes on and tells, if we do these things in the proper order, our light shall rise out of obscurity, which grows beautifully because it has that sustenance of water there by it and the necessary fertility. In the same way in our life, it will flourish. And we'll be like the old, says here, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called to repair the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And so really here, we have a way of life outlined, and yet this same people over in Jeremiah, when asked to walk in the good way, wherein is the good way, and the old path, wherein is the good way, said, we will not walk therein. And how were they really doing that? By their actions and by their deeds. And so, a lot of times, when we're really earnest and really want to know, is this the way or is that the way? Are some of the things of our life telling the Lord that we're really not willing to completely comply, to lay all on the altar this day? Is things we do really telling the Lord that, even though maybe we are not doing it directly? And then it says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, and this is one of the great sins of our world today, is misusing the day that the Lord has set aside for a day of worship. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and all these blessings will be bestowed that God has put here to have for the children of men. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for thy mouth, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And worthy again, there are certain necessary even occupations of the seventh day. But again, all too often, this is a day that is misused. And so these things, it says, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. And really, maybe our conscience could even convict us this day. I have another passage of scripture here, and I guess it looks like maybe I better start kind of weeding a few out. like I said, really today, I just felt there's not much any place to stop. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, a great duty of the Church of Christ, of the ministry of the Church. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. So our very life could cause our good to lose its savor and to become effective. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I have one here that I'll just give you these if you would like to copy them down. Mosiah 9:53 and 2:55. A people who were doing a certain thing, but the important part of this, it says their hearts were knit together in unity and love. And because their hearts were knit together in unity and love, it says, thus they become the children of God. And so love is a key issue. And we find in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and starting with verse 10 through about 17, the admonition to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because we fight against the wiles of the devil, against the forces of darkness, and against the rulers of darkness. So how important it is that we be watchful unto prayer.
Tonight at 7 o'clock we have our people's meeting, and at 8 we'll have preaching by Brother John Bell.